audience is kind of anxious about, because they're what we call seniors, and so they are graduating. And so I'm going to ask you guys to, and gals, to come to the front. That means you got to stand up and walk this way. All right, so we got a group of seniors. You can come up on stage. Don't be shy. So every year I ponder, and I have some seniors like Audrey. She's like, I worried about speaking for months. I didn't want to go on stage and say anything. So I was like, do I have them say something? Do I not have them say something? And they're like, no, don't say no. And so these are seniors. And we've got a couple that couldn't make it, but we are proud of you guys. And I always get them a good study Bible, because I believe there's nothing better than the Word of God, because that's the foundation. That's what you guys have to build your life on, is the foundation of Christ. Only way you can find that out is in the Word of God. So you're gonna get a good study Bible. So Mr. Harrison is gonna help us pass those out. And so I'm going to start down here on the right, and I'm just say, hey, introduce yourself. If you have plans, just say, hey, I'm going to college, or I'm going to trade school, or I'm going to Disney World. I don't know, whatever. Hold the mic.
Hi, I'm Holly. I'm going to go to Oklahoma State University, and I'm going to be an athletic trainer.
I'm Wyatt Ellickson, and I'm planning on being a lineman.
I'm Mason Fassett, planning on going to college and then kind of just going from there.
I'm Carson Dukes, and I plan on going to college for nursing.
I'm Aiden Andrelevich, and I'm going to Columbia International to play baseball.
I'm Eric Lassiter, and I'm going to Glenville State to play baseball.
I'm Malachi Shaspa, and I'm going to try to be a lineman.
I'm Keegan Schuler, and I'm going to try to go to college to become a lawyer.
I'm Macy Wilson, and I'm going to attend the University of Florida to master in animal science.
I'm Grace Hobson, and I'm going to cosmetology school to be a hairdresser.
I'm Julian Mattia, and I'm going to Santa Fe College.
And so I do that for a couple reasons. Number one, I like them to get uncomfortable, right? Like, when have you ever not heard them speak loud, right? But number two, I want you guys to put a face with a name. And so you've heard their plans. You've heard where God's leading them. And now you can pray for them. Because as a church body, they're graduating high school, they're moving on, but they're not graduating from church, right? Right? So when you see them in service, hey, how's it going trying to become a lineman? We all know Keegan can talk, so that he's probably going to be a lawyer, because he can, I mean, we just know that. And so, but you know, now you know a little bit of their story. Now the challenge is get to know more of their story, right? As we walk them into the adulthood in service and in ministry. A lot of these are already active in ministry, and we've seen them in a lot of different areas. And so we're proud of you guys. We're celebrating you guys. But I'm going to pray for you guys right now, all right? Father God, Lord, thank you for these men and women. God, thank you for what you've already done in their lives right now up to this point. But God, I pray for the next steps. In the next 5 years, they will be making a lot of huge decisions. So God, I pray that they would focus in on their relationship with you. I pray that they would draw near to you, and you would draw near to them. As they open up the pages of these Bibles, that you would draw them to those passages that they could cling to that would become life verses for them. Like Psalms 46, God is my strength and my refuge and ever-present help at the time of need. There's going to be times when they need that strength, where they need that hiding place. And I pray that you would be that God for them. But for them to have that, they need to have that relationship. So God, if there's one here that doesn't know that, for sure they have that relationship. I pray today would be their salvation, their day of salvation, their day understanding they're a sinner in need of a Savior, and that Savior's name is Jesus Christ. I pray that you order their steps. I pray that you keep them safe and that they would become mighty men and women of God who faithfully serve you no matter where they're at in their life. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Y'all can be seated. So I want to introduce you to a good friend of mine, Robert Bredo. We've known each other for almost 25 years. It's crazy. So I went on staff at First Baptist Branford almost 25 years ago, and Robert was there. In fact, right after I got there, y'all got married, I believe. And so, good friend of mine. God has used him mightily. Used him, did a men's ministry for many years and impacted a lot of men with the gospel. And then God led him to go out to Missouri as a pastor. Out there for about 5 years, 6 years, something like that. And so brought him back home. So he's over in the Branford area and preaching. And so I want you to pay attention. Now, some of the seniors out here had a rough night last night. They welcomed adulthood. All right, you stayed out late and you had fun, and now you got to stay awake. So if you see them doing this, like that, Audie, right there, you got me? All right, there you go. So they had a grad bash last night, but thank you for showing up and being here. But Robert, come preach the word.
Amen. Well, thank you, Tim, and thank you, church, for having me today. I was here years ago. I don't even remember when. It's been so long. The older I get, the yesterdays seem to slip away. I don't know if y'all experienced those senior moments. Not the seniors we're celebrating today, but just getting old. And, you know, Tim, he is just so, don't walk out of here. I'm going to have a good time. Y'all will hear me. I use a Bubba language. I say fit into, you know, get with it. I speak in a different language, but I'm excited to be with you. Tim, when he came to Branford, he was just such a blessing to my family. And seeing him now, when we come back from Missouri 6 years later, Tim just getting older and older, but his girls are getting more and more beautiful, man. When they came to Branford, they were just little tots. And when you think about how many years that's been, he started talking. He said he's been here for 20 years and known me for 25 years. And I got to thinking about that because my ministry actually was being birthed when Tim came to Branford. I don't know if you guys remember, but we had a ministry called Crosshair Outfitters. I think we cooked here one time. We had a huge trailer, and I did outdoor ministry, and I had the privilege of using my bow on the stage and shooting an archery in my sermons. So I wish I had it today, because normally you won't nod off if I have a weapon up here. I am so glad to be with y'all today. Today is a good day. It's a special day. And I don't see a clock anywhere, which scares me, because my wife makes me wear this ankle bracelet. If I go too long, she'll start dog-shocking me. So if I start dancing, it's not the Holy Ghost, all right? But you'll watch her. My wife beautiful? I am so blessed, y'all. I'm going to tell you, I'm blessed with I got a son who's 19 who graduated to Missouri last year, and a daughter who is a sophomore. She's over in Branford, and my beautiful wife that we have been married. We've been together for a long time, but we dated for many years before we got married, and I was on probation for a long time is why. But today is a good day, and it's a special day. I remember sitting, you know, in a service like this as I was getting ready to graduate from high school and, you know, preparing to play college baseball. I see some of you guys going to play college ball. Man, I'll tell you, I was so prepared and ready to go. I went out to West Alabama and tried out for a team out there, and got a phone call that they welcomed me to come and walk on. And, man, it was exciting. And I got back, and 2 weeks before I graduated from high school, I was bass fishing, and my buddy's fishing lure hit me in my right eye. And, man, it was horrific. I'm the only person I know of that got to graduate and receive my diploma wearing Oakley sunglasses, you know. But it was pretty cool. But the Lord changed my life. I came to know Christ through that. It was a tough situation, but my plans got changed. I hope you heard that, young people, today, because I'm going to say it again. My plans got changed. We oftentimes make our plans, but, man, I'm so thankful that we serve a Heavenly Father that we've given permission to direct our steps. Praise God. I think it's a good thing that whether you step to the left or to the right, I think we have a responsibility to step, but it's so important that we listen to the voice behind us that's directing us, saying, this is the way, walk in it. Man, You young people are graduating. I don't know when graduation will take place, but you're going to go across that stage, and everybody's going to get excited, and you're going to get that diploma, and they're going to clap, and you're going to wake up the next morning, and mom and daddy's going to say, okay, go get you a J-O-B. You've been on the welfare program for far too long. It's time to start contributing to society. And I'll tell you, as I get older in age, I'm thankful to see young people join the workforce or go to college and prepare for the workforce, because I'm so grateful that y'all will be paying into the Social Security that one day maybe I will get to embrace, right? Yeah, you're going to get a job, and many of you are going to go to college, and you're graduating from high school to just go and do more schoolwork, but now you'll be under professors that could care less if you're there, because they're going to draw a paycheck regardless, right? So you're going to have to enter into a new time of discipline. Discipline to get up in the morning, because mama's not going to be knocking on your door saying, get up, it's time to go to school or go to work. There's some independence that's coming in your life, and you're going to get your own bills now. Yeah, y'all know what that is? We have this thing called a mailbox. And you go to the mailbox, and when you open it up, 90% of it in there is somebody wanting your money for some service or some item that you've received, and you have bills. And you're going to be broke. Let me just go ahead and tell you. Gas is getting more and more expensive. Things are getting tough. And you're going to learn to pray like your parents prayed. Lord, please take this ramen noodle and turn it into Chick-fil-A, because you're tired of eating it. And gas is going to go above $6 a gallon. I'm just telling you, that's the reality of the world that we live. It's a tough time that our young people are in. I graduated from school. I did the math this morning, 34 years ago. And I did it without the internet or AI. Something to be said about that. But it's a new day and with new challenges. But I want to encourage you today that we still serve the same most powerful God who wants to walk alongside of you and fight on your behalf and give you the wisdom that you need. So what can I share with you today? And man, I've been pondering. Let me rephrase it. I've been sweating over this, because I didn't want to come in here and just browbeat everybody. I wanted to encourage you guys. I wanted to give you some insight from the Word of God that I believe that you would be able to take and remember from this day forward, to give you an encouragement and a hope for which God has placed before you. So when you step into responsibility, that's a big word. Some of the young people said, what's that? Man, with great freedom comes great responsibility. I think that's what's wrong with our nation nowadays, is it's in a crazy world, because we love the freedom, but we don't like the responsibility that comes along with it. A lot of you young people, you say, man, I graduate, freedom. There's more responsibility on you now than ever before. And it's so encouraging to see these young people. I heard a pastor say one time that that's not the church of tomorrow, that's the church of today. And it's so amazing to hear their plans that they've prayed through, the ambitions that they have, to know that they're willing to accept the responsibility that goes along with them. But the question for every graduate, every adult in this room, how can we live in this world that we live in today with the challenges, where we understand, as your worship pastor said, as Tog said, that life is hard. Man, but a life without discipline is painful. It's a powerful statement. How can we not just survive but thrive in this world in which we live? Well, to answer that question, I want to share with you just a little bit of what probably the last year and a half of my life and my personal studies, what God has shown me. And it's all directed. Normally I preach from just one passage of Scripture, but I felt led to do something different today, and that is share with you just a bird's eye view, the oversight of the life of a man in Scripture that I can tell you that I resonate with most. And it's a guy that you know is Peter, who used to be a guy named Simon. And if you follow his life, you will see he didn't just have one defining moment. Now, maybe there's one moment that you can resonate with and say, man, I'm just like Peter. We went to Israel, and every time that we went somewhere that there was some significance where Peter was at, that he said something or, you know, put his foot in his mouth as he did so often, we would just say, bless his heart, because that's what we say in the South. That's me. I'm Peter. I'm that guy. I'm type A. I'm going to kick doors down. I mean, I'm going to go, and I'm going to be driven in everything that I do. The problem with that is that sometimes I get ahead of God in doing that. And the older I get, the less doors I'm kicking down. I still pound on them pretty hard. But it's tough to live that life with that discipline, because there's going to be moments in your life that are moments of calling. There's going to be moments that you are required to have courage. But here's the tough part, is that every one of us are going to experience moments of failure. But that failure, even though it's going to come, the failing is not what creates the identity of the person. I believe it's how we respond to that failure in life is what creates the identity of who we are. But Peter, I want to give you just a bird's eye view of his life. And the reason I resonate with him so much is when I started ministry, a crazy set of circumstances. I won't bore you with the details, but God burnt my barn down. He did. He sent lightning and thunder, and my barn burnt down, which had 29 high-dollar fishing rod and reels in there, and my boat, and a safe with ammunition that exploded. But that same day is when God called me into ministry. And in that moment, the next day, for the first time ever at First Baptist Church, I spoke into a microphone to share with the church that calling on my life and what God spoke to me, because though he burned up all my rod and reels, he left one, a little Zebco 33. I'm like, Lord, what am I going to do with a Zebco 33? I fish with Calcuttas and Shimano's and offshore. And here's what God told me. He says, it's time you quit fishing so much for fish and you start fishing for men. But here's the premise behind that. You remember the first words he said in Matthew 4:19 to Peter? Two words: follow me. You see, we can have aspirations to do all sorts of things, and I can go fish for men, and I can stop fishing for fish, but if that is not premised with the fact that I've got to follow him first, everything else is just going to fall by the wayside. Matthew 4:19, when he said those words, I want you to hear this. In all of Scripture, that's the first two words that we see that Peter heard that came out of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's mouth: follow me. And then he says, and I will make you fisher of men. Just two simple words, but here's the big breath that I want our graduates, our seniors, and everybody to take today. You can take a deep breath, because when he says, follow me, when he spoke those words into Peter's life, he didn't lay out a 10-year plan. He didn't give him a stack of textbooks and say, go and learn this. He didn't give him a QR code to scan and say, you'll find all of the credentials. Everything that you need is right here. He just simply said, follow me. And through the submission to that command is what opens a door for everything else to be embraced, that we can be not only successful but significant in the calling upon our lives. Let me just give our graduates a little piece. I know that there's a lot of pressure on you guys today. You're going to step out of here and say, oh my gosh, what am I supposed to do? There may even come a little bit of depression in your life because there's so many expectations on what you are supposed to do. Let me just give you guys a piece, okay? You don't have to have everything figured out. It's okay. And I know that the greatest psychologists in the world say you've got to have a plan, and a 1-year plan, and a 5-year plan, and a 10-year plan, and you need to start on your 401k now, and retirement, and get your IRA in order, get all these things organized. And it's so overwhelming that we get caught up in what we've got to do, we forget what God said he's going to do. But everything hinges on our response to him simply saying, follow me. And we get so caught up chasing life, chasing our careers, chasing, if you're going to play sports or whatever it is that you're going to do post-graduation, that we forget this one thing, and that is, who are we following? You see, because the direction of your life will always be determined by the mass of your devotion. Man, the things that you're most devoted to is going to steer and gear your life. And while the world offers so many things, there's so many accolades that come from the great careers, the great things that we do, nothing surpasses the beauty of knowing that you have settled in your relationship, that first things first, you're following Christ. I think our senior adults in here and our moms and dads will tell you that if we begin to follow the wrong things, we're going to be going down the wrong path. For instance, if you begin to follow trends in culture, you know what's going to happen? You're going to drift toward that culture. If we follow success, we're going to burn out because we're trying to follow and find some success from what we want to do. And I think one of the worst things that we do is we follow ourselves. We get lost in the midst of me and I. But if you follow Jesus, you will always get to the place that you're supposed to go. You see, because your future is not found in a plan, even some of the most well laid out plans, your future is in a person. And his name is Jesus. So in 4:19 of Matthew, we see that he says, follow me, and we know that Peter made a decision to follow Jesus, but Peter's going to learn, just like we learn when we follow Jesus, that everything's not always just hunky-dory. It's not always beautiful. There's not always beautiful pavement. Sometimes you're in some of them South Suwannee County roads that I live on when there's potholes in the way that'll rattle your teeth when you go across them. Sometimes life gets hard. Unexpected things come our way, and it gets tough. And Peter is going to learn through his life the same way that we learn, is that Jesus, even through the potholes of life, he has a plan and a desire to just draw you closer to him, because that's how we come to a deeper relationship with Christ. It's experiencing the hardships in life and then falling upon our knees and calling out to him. In fact, I would even go as far to say, as he even ordains and orchestrates moments in your life that will require you to take a step of faith outside of your comfort zone to continue to grow your faith in him. Man, that's tough. Preacher, I thought coming to Christ, everything was going to be good. It is good. It's just not always easy. So I want to step into Peter's life for just a moment very quickly. I want to show you just three accounts of his life from this moment in Matthew 4:19, when he was called to follow Jesus, to be a fisher of men. Just three instances in his life that I believe can bear some truth into your life today. I believe if you will remember the points from these moments, it will help you not just live a successful life, but a significant life in Christ. So we move on through the scripture. If you go to Matthew 14, you remember the story where Jesus fed the 5,000? You remember that? And he took the little Lunchable and he turned it into enough food to feed all those people. And then immediately after that, Jesus tells his buddies, he says, hey, y'all get in the boat and go across the lake. A lake that's about 8 miles across at its widest point. Jesus goes up in the hills and the mountains to pray, and he sends them across, and they're paddling, and a wind comes up, a storm comes up, and it begins brewing. And the Bible tells us in this passage that it was burdening the boat. It was beginning to break against it. And the truth is they were scared. I don't know if you've ever been in a boat offshore, but when you get into some 6 and 8 foot swells, it's scary. That's a lot of water to drink out there. Well, they're in this boat, and they're freaking out. They're paddling. They're doing everything they can. They are nervous. They're messed up. And like us in those storms of life, we say, where are you, Jesus? Where are you at? You allowed us to go to this. In fact, you called us. You commanded us to go across the lake at this time. And in our humanism, we say, God, if you know all things, why would you do this? Because he's ordaining a moment. And they look and they begin to see something, and it's not bad enough that they feel like their boat's about to be torn apart and they're going to sink, you know, 4.5 miles or so from close to shore. But they look and they say, oh my gosh, now here comes a ghost. You remember that story? And as Jesus gets closer, he tells them, don't be afraid, for it is I. And then in step Peter. He fixed and opened up his mouth, so you know it's about to get good. He says, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you. And I love this. When Jesus just drops a one word, he says, come. In other words, the new King Bubba version is this: try me, big boy. Come. And Peter steps out of the boat and onto the water, and for a moment he's walking on water. He's turned away. He's no longer holding the boat. I would love to have been there to see that, Brother Paul. Can you imagine? As he's kind of freaked out to begin with, and then he looks back at his boys and he's like, somebody take a picture. Yeah, get your cell phone out. You got to capture this. And he looks back at Jesus, and his eyes are on Jesus. And I would imagine he's taking steps, and he's starting to strut just a little bit, you know, like the kids, you know, walking toward Jesus. And I don't know what happened. Maybe a bigger swell come and hit his leg, and the water come up and washed his face. Whatever happened in that moment, it was a sense of the reality of the moment that he was in. And in that moment, he took his eyes off of Jesus and began to focus on the storm that was around him. He took his eyes off of the command that was given to come to Jesus, and he just began to focus on the storm. Guys, life's going to have storms. It's not if they're going to come, it's when they're going to come. We live in a broken, fallen world. You're going to experience tough times in life. And it's real simple that in those tough times in life, we are going to feel this natural draw to look at the storm, to combat the storm, to focus on the storm when Jesus says, just focus on me. College pressures are going to come. Career pressures are going to come. There's always uncertainties with industries and jobs for what's going to happen. You will experience relationship heartbreak. There's going to be financial setbacks. You're going to endure loss and pain in your life. That's the reality of living in a broken world. There's going to be financial stress, and there's going to be moments that spiritually you're going to struggle. And in those moments, God's going to be speaking the same words to you in the midst of your storm that he spoke to Peter that day. Come. Just come to me. It's an open invitation that never stops. Just come to me. You see, in your moment of uncertainty, he says, just come to me. In your moments of doubt, he says, just come a little bit closer. In the moments of pain and suffering, let me be the healer. Let me give you the peace that I can bring to you. Because here's the danger. In our humanism, just like Peter, we have a tendency to focus on what's going around us instead of the one who is calling us to focus upon him. Please hear this. You don't sink in life because of the storms. We simply sink because we focus more on the storms than we do on Jesus. But even when Peter sank, everybody says that when he took his eyes off Jesus, he sank. He didn't sink. And the reason I know that is because when he was calling Lord, Lord, if you look at the original Greek in which it was written, it doesn't say that when he was going down, it went blah, 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 blah. His head stayed above water, y'all. And in that moment, he cried out, Lord, Lord, and immediately Jesus reached out his hand to his brother who was sinking in a time of need. Don't focus on the storms. Focus on the Savior in the storm. There's another story as we move a little bit farther, and this another dilemma. And this is probably one of my favorite stories because it was one of my favorite places that we got to tour when we were in Israel. And in Matthew 16, it tells us that Jesus took his disciples to the region of Caesarea Philippi. Now, when we read this story, we really don't understand the depth of this, but this was in the northern region of Israel, and this was a place where they worshiped the god Pan, and it was a place where there was this pagan worship, but a lot of child sacrifice that took place there. And at this place, the Jewish boys were not even allowed to go there. So Jesus intentionally takes these young Jewish boys there to this place, I believe, to strike a little bit of fear into them. But he takes them to one of the darkest places to show that he was the light that would shine the brightest in the midst of the darkness. And when he gets there, you know the story, because he asks this question. He's got them there, and they're fearful. They're looking around. Who's going to see us here? Are we going to get in trouble? He says, who do men say that I am? And you remember, they say, oh, man, some people are saying that you're Elijah or Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he says, no. Who do you say I am? And I love this because my boy Peter, he gets one right. Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And it's a powerful moment because Peter, I know Peter's heart. I bet he looked around those boys and said, got one right. One up on y'all. You know there was a bubba camaraderie amongst these guys. And then Jesus begins to share with him a little bit more. He says, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. He says, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And then he says something. He says, you know, you've been Simon, but now you're Peter. There's a new identity in your name and who you are and what you just understood. He says, and on this will I build my church. On this rock. And he's not talking about Peter was the rock. We know that Petros means a piece of the rock, and there's great understanding in that. But what he was talking about was on the principle that he just proclaimed, that he is the Christ. He is the Messiah. It's on this principle, on this truth, in the midst of darkness, that I'm the one to bring light into every dark situation. And then Jesus begins to tell Peter of some tough things that were going to happen. He began to tell all of them. He says, listen, I'm going to suffer. I'm going to be handed over to the chief priests, and they're going to come, and they're going to beat me, and they're going to strip my clothes off of me. And I don't know the details that he went beyond what Scripture says, but he painted a pretty rough picture after telling them this truth. Now let me just take you to this moment, because what Peter does, he's large and in charge. You know, he just got a high five from Jesus. He got a new name. He's looking at everybody, I'm the rock. He said, Jesus, come here. And I imagine he takes him aside. And can you imagine him grabbing Jesus by his big, broad shoulder, said, sit down, Jesus. Put his finger in his face and say, far be it. I'll never let this happen to you. Now, it's real easy for us to throw rocks at Peter, right? I mean, Peter opens his mouth and inserts foot all the time. But you got to remember that Peter had watched Jesus raise people from the dead, turn water into wine. He was a modern-day miracle man, and you're telling me you're going to die? Far be it. I'll whoop anybody that tries to mess with you. And we see the strongest words in Scripture from Jesus' response to Peter. You know what he says? Get behind me, Satan. He says, you're mindful of the things of man and not the things of God. And see, there's two completely different moments here. We've got the moment where he got something right, and then just a few seconds later, he gets everything wrong. One moment he's a mouthpiece of God, and the next moment he's a hindrance to God's plan, even though in his mind what he said was strong. It was powerful. And I can show just how strong I am in this, and I will protect you, Jesus. Jesus says, get behind me. He says, for you are an offense to me. In the Greek, the word offense, there's the word scandalon. That's where we get our word scandal. He says, what you're talking about is scandalous. He says, you are a stepping stone that's becoming a stumbling block. You see, when you've been given accolades and a stage of influence in life for the name of Jesus, will you and your actions and your words be a stepping stone for others to come to Jesus, or do we get ahead of the game and we become a stumbling block? You see, because you guys are about to step into a world, you young people, please hear me, where all it takes is one Instagram post that you'll become a stumbling block. All it takes is one decision at a party where you're no longer that stepping stone, but you become a stone of stumbling. You're about to step into a world where your friends aren't always going to push you toward purpose. They're going to pull you toward a place of compromise. And just like Peter, in one moment we can say all the right things, do all the right things, lift up our hands and sing and speak truth, and then by Tuesday night we're living something totally different. Every parent and grandparent in here knows that it's not a young people problem. It's not a senior graduate problem. It's a human problem because it's our human nature. So here's a question you've got to just settle early on is, who's really leading your life? If we're going to follow Jesus, are we doing just that? Because if our feelings lead us, we will drift. If friends lead us, we'll compromise. If culture leads us, we will conform. So we have to consider in every moment, in every decision, in every action of our lives, am I being a stepping stone that leads people to the love of Jesus, or am I becoming a stumbling block that is a hindrance, that is a scandalon? Let me show you guys where this gets real. Because Peter goes on through his life, he got corrected, and maybe he was demoted emotionally there for just a few moments. And then we know that he has spent some time with these boys in the upper room before he's to go to Calvary's cross and die. We know that Jesus is arrested, and he's beaten, and he has a trial, and he's on his way to the cross. And it's in this moment that we see that Peter becomes ashamed of Jesus. He denies Jesus. You know, this is the Peter, the bold one, who said, I'll never leave you. I'll never do anything to go against you, Jesus. And if you remember what Jesus told Peter, he says, before the rooster even crows in the morning, you'll have denied me three times. You see, those are the moments in life when we get tested, when our faith gets tested. And I'm not talking about in church. I'm not talking about student ministry. I'm talking about those moments where we're not safe, the moments where it's going to cost you something in the real world. It's the moments where the tension that you will experience. Will you stand? Will you speak? Will you still represent Jesus even when it's not the most popular thing to do? You see, it's easy to follow Jesus when it's safe. But it's real faith to follow Jesus when it's going to cost you something. We don't talk about it enough in church. But when you look at that story, we always talk about him denying Jesus. But everybody misses this point, that after he denied him the third time and he heard that rooster crow and he realized the words that Jesus was saying was true prophetically, the Bible tells us that he went away, Peter did, and he wept bitterly. Man, the conviction he must have felt in his heart, remembering, saying, I'll never fall away. I'll never deny you. The weight of what he had done in that moment, being ashamed of the Savior of the world. Can you imagine the noise of that crowd? The fire that he was standing beside to warm probably began to get a little bit cold. Remembering all of his failures, the Bible says he went away and he wept bitterly. You see, he didn't just deny anyone. He denied the one that he said that he would follow. And I bet what was running through his mind at that moment is, I put my foot in my mouth my whole life, and I put it in there once again to the point that my breath smells like shoe polish now. And he's watching Jesus die upon Calvary's cross. He watched every whip. He watched every drop of blood, every nail being driven, every breath that Jesus struggled to take. It was a reminder of Peter's worst moment. And if we go on through the scriptures, we see something that Peter does, is he does what a lot of us do when we get to those points that we feel like we let Jesus down, where we fell, where we missed the point, where we hurt somebody else. And we see that one day he's struggling and he says these words when you get over into John chapter 21. He says, I'm just going to go fishing. Men, you ever get to that point? Where you struggle in life, you feel like you've let your wife down, your kids down, your church down, people down. You say, I'm just going to go fishing. Man, it's in humanistic DNA. And I believe that the reason he said, I'm going to go fishing, is because he had just failed in something very significant. He wanted to put himself in a place where he could experience a little bit of success. And then he doesn't. Scripture tells us there in John 21 that he fished all night, him and his buddies. By the way, his buddies followed him into this place. Fished all night long, and the Bible tells us that they did not catch a fish. You ever been fishing, and you're out in the lake fishing, and somebody walking along the shore, you know the first thing they ask you, hey, y'all catching anything? My daddy taught me. He says, you always say no. Well, they answer with truth. They says, no, we've not caught anything, because here's this man walking on the seashore. Hey, y'all catch anything? And it's Jesus, but they don't realize that. This is the Jesus who was resurrected on the third day. He has not yet ascended, but he's here. He says, hey, y'all caught anything? And all night long, Peter was mully grub, and he went back to his comfort zone to feel better about himself, and he can't even be successful in what he's good at. He mully grubbing. That's another word that a lot of people, especially in Missouri, they didn't understand it. Y'all know what mully grubbing is. That's when you get the heart dropsies, you get down and you can't get up, so you just go fishing. No, we hadn't caught anything. And then he says, hey, cast your net on the other side of the boat. I bet those boys says, he must be a tourist. He don't know these waters. Man, we've been fishing our whole life. And we're in this boat, literally, it's 6 foot across. We've been dropping the nets there, and we ain't caught nothing. And you're telling me, one, two, three, four, five, six feet, and then dropping, I'm going to catch fish? Right. Hey, big boy, watch it. We're fixing to prove you wrong. Go on, drop the nets. And they threw their nets over. And I bet that net started bumping a little bit, you know, kind of like a cork going down. I bet it was bumping. And I would love to have seen the look on those guys' faces. They've been fishing all night long. And now it's daybreak, and you don't catch these kind of fish at the daytime. You catch them at night. And that net's bumping, and they're like, wait a minute, what's going on? And they start pulling that net in, and in Peter's mind, he starts thinking, and what's going on here? And they're trying to get the net. The net's trying to break. There's so many fish, and they're pulling this in. And John looks over, and he says, It's the Lord. It's Jesus. And I love this moment because Peter, he drops the nets. You remember he did that one time before. He drops the nets. The Bible tells us he put his garment back on, put his shirt on, and he jumped in the water and he swam to shore to be with Jesus. Man, they fighting with that net. Where'd Peter go? He's with Jesus. And he gets to the seashore over there, and there's a little fire, and Jesus is cooking some bread. He says, bring some of them fish over here. And those guys are like, yeah, Peter, you could have helped us a little bit, you know. And they have breakfast on the beach. Fish and biscuits. And they're sitting there eating, and here's a conversation that's so powerful. Do you remember there's another account in Jesus' calling in the early moments of Peter's life when Jesus actually borrowed his boat and he preached from his boat, and when they got done, he says, push out and cast your net, and it's daytime again, and he catches so many fish that the net begins to break one time. And it was so important what he told him in that moment. He said, follow me. Jesus takes him back to that same moment. The fish are about to break. And he asks him a question in the midst of these follow me's. He says, Peter, do you love me? Same question. In fact, he asked him three times. I believe, theologians believe, because he denied him three times, he asked him three times, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Tend my lambs if you love me. Yes, Lord, you know I love you. I love you with everything in me. He even said one time, do you love me more than these? Maybe he was pointing at his friends. Maybe the fish and nets. Maybe the fish that provided money. I don't know what it was. Yes, Lord, you know I love you more than these. And the irony and the power of this whole story, of these bookends of Peter's conversations with Jesus before his ascension. The very first two words that he says way back here is, follow me. And we go through all the moments of his life, his ups and downs, the roller coasters, and he gets way over here to the end. Jesus has experienced death, burial, and resurrection. Peter had turned away. He went back to the old life, back to doing things the old way. He caught this big mess of fish. Jesus asked him the question to define everything that happened from there to here. He says, I've just got to ask you, do you love me? And then he says those same words at the end that he said at the beginning. Look at it, John 21. Follow me. You see, it's about following him. It's not about being perfect. It's not about having it all figured out. It's day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment, following Jesus in every circumstance, in every situation that this old hard life presents us. Toss your net on the other side of the boat, a simple command that seemed very unrealistic, but I believe that Jesus was using that command in such a moment to see if they would follow in an unrealistic time with an unrealistic faith. The story is so powerful to me. I've actually started teaching a Bible study with men, teaching them everything that Peter went through, because I believe that it resonates with our lives. I call it the crucible. You know, a crucible is just a pot that you put metal in and it gets really hot and it burns off the slag. Each one of those moments in his life, he was put back into the refiner's fire to be purified as silver. You see, that's where we're all at today. Every one of us, we're in the refiner's fire. Sometimes it's hotter than others. But this is the moment. This is the time in Peter's life when I think he really got it of why he was following Jesus. Because he loved him. You see, that's the question I want to ask you today, especially you graduates that are going to leave this moment in life, that everything's behind you now and it's a new day, there's a line in the dirt. Everything forward from here in your life, the way that you respond to every challenge in your life will be determined by your faith that you're willing to say, I love Jesus. I love him with everything in me. I love him in such a powerful way that I'm willing to stand firm. I love him in such a powerful way that I'm not going to be ashamed. I love him in such a way that I'm not going to deny him when moments around me may make me feel like I need to deny him. I love him so much that I'm never going to turn away and go back to the old life, but I'm going to continue to seek him in everything that I do, in every season, in every moment of our lives. Because you guys are going to be challenged with moments of a calling. There's going to be moments of courage. There's going to be moments of confusion. There's going to be moments of failure. And you need to remember in each of those moments, as if we were having breakfast with Jesus, that in each of those challenging moments that he is looking upon you and asking those questions, do you love me? Yes, it's tough. Well, I get it. It's hard. We experience these tough things in life, but do you still love him even through it? If we do, it's a command that's an invitation. He says, follow me. Maybe you're here today and it's for the first time that you've heard these words about the simplicity of following Jesus. You've seen a young lady get baptized to give a public profession of her faith, public from what she did privately in her life, because she made a decision to follow Jesus. Why? Because she understood that Jesus loved her so much that he gave his life on Calvary's cross. She said back to him, I love you too. Maybe that's you today, that you need to make that decision to make Jesus Lord of your life, to receive the great love and the sacrifice that he gave you on Calvary's cross, to begin this moment where you're walking forward in a life that is following him. I'm going to pray in just a moment. I want to ask you just to bow your heads with me now as we close in prayer, and we're going to give you an opportunity to respond. I'm going to ask Brother Paul to come up in just a moment. Our musicians are going to come, and we're going to have a time of invitation. We call that because softly and tenderly, Jesus is inviting you to come. But in this moment right now, the question that I would ask you as we close this moment out, the question is what Jesus would ask you in this moment. Do you love me? And if you love me, follow me. Father, thank you so much for this day and time that you've given us. God, you ordained all things. God, you knew that this moment was going to take place. You knew that the hearts that would be here today that would receive this word, because you're sovereign above all things. Father, in our midst right now, there's someone here that's struggling with whether they are just a church goer, or maybe they're just buddies with you, or if they have surrendered their life to you. God, as these words are just amplified off of the pages of Scripture, I pray today we hear them like never before. As you're calling and you're asking, do you love me? Father, I pray as those words fall on our hearts, God, beyond our ears, but to the depths of our soul, that we can respond and say, yes, Lord, I love you, and I'm willing to follow you. God, we invite your Holy Spirit to move in our midst right now. We invite you to work openly and freely in our hearts as we respond to the truth of your word, to the invitation of your call. It's in the precious and holy name of Jesus I pray. Amen. Would you stand with us, please, as we have a time of response?